Good morning, science. My name is Alexandra McGauld, and a while back I had the pleasure of talking with Dr. Roy Salomon. He and his team are the founders of Unreal, an ERC project that has found a way to pull back the curtains on our sense of reality. We usually trust our senses to know what's what, and when the mechanisms involved are compromised, as in schizophrenia or when experiencing hallucinations, so is our ability to function. While we do not have the matrix chairs to be able to see what someone is seeing and what happens in their heads, Unreal is coming shockingly close. The Salomon team has found a way to control and visualize altered realities via virtual reality, and in combination with high-resolution fMRI, Dr. Salomon can literally see what happens in our brains when we are experiencing these virtual hallucinations. Understanding how our sense of reality suffers may pave the way for life-altering treatment options and ultimately for patients to find their way back.
What's your favorite part about being a scientist?
So my favorite part of being a scientist is the fact that I have the opportunity to kind of tackle the big questions of life, big philosophical questions. What is reality? What is the self? Through scientific means. So for me, my work is kind of a convergence between psychology, philosophy, and neuroscience. And I try to answer kind of big philosophical questions that people used to think that they weren't even scientific questions by using the scientific method and seeing how the mind and the brain actually go around to forming a sense of self, or how we know what is real or what is not real. So I think my favorite part is actually taking that and trying to see how we can go to a question which seems like one which science cannot tackle, and find a methodology, find an experiment in which we can kind of clearly address the main issues and try to figure out, get a grasp of how this works in the brain and mind.
What project, what specific question in that field are you really enthusiastic about?
I think that maybe the kind of flagship project that we have in the lab is a project that we've moved kind of from trying to understand how the brain creates a sense of self to a new topic of how the brain tries to figure out what is real. Okay, so when we look at the world, we have expectations about what's going to happen. Okay, so we're looking out in the world, and if something really, really strange would happen, for instance, if all of a sudden behind me you'd see a pink kangaroo, this would probably strike you as quite odd, right? Something is wrong. Something's not going as expected. And then how would you answer, how would you tackle that question? How would you deal with that situation? So one thing is saying, well, Roy has pink kangaroos hopping around in his office. And then you have to change your model of what you expect of the world. Pink kangaroos exist in professors' offices in Israel. Maybe it's a common thing. The other thing is questioning whether you actually saw that. And this line of work came to me when I was working in psychiatric hospitals. When you spend a full day with people who have psychosis and have schizophrenia, and they're experiencing things that you are not experiencing. And at the end of the day, if you just spend the time one-on-one with these people, you're not completely sure about who has it right. Because the same kind of evidence I have about the world being real to me, experiencing through my senses, they have the same conviction about what they're experiencing. And this kind of brought me to the sensation, thought about, how do we really know? What does it mean when I say, well, I don't believe what I'm seeing? Of course I believe it, because I saw it. Yeah? And this new project, which we call Unreal, is a project in which we're trying to build a phenomenological and a neuroscience computational paradigm in which we can judge and see how the brain models reality. And our idea is that we all have these expectations that we learned over life about how the world is supposed to be. And we're looking at what happens when those don't kind of work out in our experience. And the way we do this is kind of funny. What we did, we created virtual hallucinations. We have a virtual reality world in which we kind of inserted what people actually feel when they have hallucinations coming from schizophrenia, from psychedelics. So we kind of have this very trippy environment, or sometimes trippy environment. And then we see what happens to people, how they react, both behaviorally, physiologically, and neurally, when they go into these kind of strange situations. So it's really difficult to get people to actually hallucinate within EEG or imaging or brain imaging. But here we're creating the kind of bottom-up sensation of the world is really weird, and seeing how their brain and how their physiology reacts to that. So in a way, I think this is like the most exciting project we're doing right now. And we're very lucky to have gotten some funding from the ERC to do this. And I think it's a very challenging thing to do going forward, because we're also going to be looking at a lot of special populations, like people with depersonalization, derealization, or schizophrenics, who have already experienced some strange things regarding their sense of reality.
So seeing is believing. is true in many, many levels. And for these experiments, please, guys, go to the website of the Professor Solomon's lab. You will see fantastic videos that can really show you how these experiments work. And so you said you worked in the hospital. And so I'm asking myself, is there anything from guides or assists you in your personal life?
A lot of my work on how the brain models the self. The self is kind of the question I've been working on for maybe 15 or 20 years now. It's a long time. And for the self seems to us something which is very kind of concrete. But when I looked at it experimentally and scientifically, you can see that the brain and the mind don't have really like a real sense of self. What we have is all these kind of models we develop that help us in the world. So knowing where I parked my car, knowing that it's my car, which is kind of one level of narrative self, is very helpful for me. And knowing this is my body, it's super helpful for me because I can act in the world. It's very, very difficult not to have those. And when they go wrong, for instance, in schizophrenia, that's usually bad news and it causes a strong disturbance in the way we sense and feel in the world. But I think it's really helpful to also remember that at the end of the day, these self models, they're not real. I mean, the Buddhists kind of had it right in that direction. They're not something that really exists. They're things that are supposed to help us work in the world. And maybe we have to remember not to take them too seriously because they're just models. And if they're not helpful anymore, then maybe we should kind of downgrade and not take them too seriously. I think that's something that I took from my science and trying to implement that kind of in my real life on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I imagine that would definitely be very helpful. So when do you really feel in your element?
Well, I can tell you that maybe my favorite feeling is that feeling when you're sitting in the lab late at night and maybe with a few students or before that when I was postdoc with other postdocs. And I'm sure you know this, and you get the feeling that you maybe discovered something and no one else in the world knows this yet. You have this kind of, you know, kind of a Eureka Galileo feeling of saying, well, now we know something and no one else knows this yet and they're going to know tomorrow, but still, this is just us right now. And I really love the sense of discovery and excitement that is accompanied by it. And I'm really trying to get my students to feel that. And you only get that when you really spend time in the lab. I mean, these are things that end up happening at 2 a.m. really late. And not because someone's told you to be there. It has to be because you want to be there. And I think this is also part of my great life love for science, is this feeling of discovery and knowing something new.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Here comes my favorite question. If you had limitless resources in terms of computer power, human resources, finances, what would be your next endeavor?
I think the most interesting thing for me is to really take together these two projects I've been working on, them, how the brain implements a model of the organism, which is the self, and now how the brain implements a model of the external world, and maybe to understand how that develops within the human brain. So how a baby goes from having kind of no sense of world and no sense of self, and these things have to be developed together. So you have to have a sense that this is you, and then there's something else, and try to get the separation, and try to model what's going on within you, how to keep homeostasis, how to keep your heart rate temperature within the right bounds, and understand who you are, developing even very high-level intellectual models of what the self is, and at the same time, try to understand what the rules of the world is, and how you can act in it, and when things go wrong, how they look strange to you or become unreal. So if I could do this, I tried to do kind of developmental work over many years, try to see how this actually comes to be.
This is so exciting. Thank you so, so much for talking to me.
My pleasure.